Okay, let's go now to another broadcast partner with us. Not on every week, but often we have Dr. John Whitcomb join us for a discussion right here on Prophecy Today. And we so enjoy the fellowship with Dr. John as well. I, John, want to talk to you about a report that came out in the BBC, British Broadcasting Corporation. I have it in front of me, the article stating that the Mariana Trench is the deepest ocean and it teems with microbes. Now, I want to know what we're talking about here, how this came into existence. Is it indeed the deepest part of the ocean? I can remember many years ago when I was in Hawaii, I was down walking on the beach and a young man walked up to me and he approached me and he said, "Hey, you know, right out there is the deepest part of the ocean." I said, "No kidding. How deep is it?" He said, "It's about 7 miles deep." I said, "Wow, that's the deepest part of the ocean." And then I used it as a instant time to be able to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ. I said, "You know, I know what's down at the bottom." He said, "You do? What's down there?" I said, "My sins. And the Bible tells me that my sins were cast into the depths of the deepest sea. And is that the deepest part of the ocean? If it is, then that's where my sins are." Well, now this report coming from the BBC says indeed that is the deepest part of the ocean. Would you go along with that? Is that probably pretty much on target, 7 miles deep, maybe off the coast of Hawaii there?
Problem is, it's not near Hawaii. It's a couple thousand miles west of Hawaii, straight south of Japan, straight east of the Philippine Islands, just south of a famous island called Guam. And there it is set nearly 7 miles deep, 35,000 feet. And it just, this report says they have found to their amazement that even at that depth, total darkness, near freezing temperature, it teems with microbes, single-cell organisms, thousands, millions of them. And what does this prove? Listen to what God says about it. Genesis chapter 1. God created great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarmed after their kind. Now listen to this. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters of the seas." And I say, "Thank you, Lord. You're the creator." Really? Who did all this? John 1:3. All things were made through him, Jesus Christ. And without him was not anything made that was made. Every microbe, every microorganism, every reptile, fish, bird, animal, every thing that lives and moves and breathes on this planet was made by him within those six amazing creation days of Genesis chapter 1. But, you know, Jimmy, it's interesting that those oceans were different than they are today. They weren't that deep at that time. Why not? Because Genesis 1 says that God divided, separated those waters, that ocean, that shoreless ocean at the beginning, and made an expanse between the waters below the expanse and the waters above the expanse. The expanse, apparently, is what we call the atmosphere that surrounds this earth, above which was a pre-flood vapor canopy of some kind that provided what we might call a greenhouse effect, so that the warm, humid air was ideal for longevity. People lived hundreds of years. Dinosaurs became enormous in size, as we know, and that all fell down, remember, in Genesis 7, at the time of the flood. And you know how long it took for that water to come back down, to precipitate, to condense on the earth? 40 days and 40 nights, Genesis 7, verses 11 and 12. The floodgates of the sky were open, and the rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. First phase of the global flood. So if we went out to the ocean today, God would say, "Dear child, listen, that today you see the deepest ocean there ever was, and you see the last ocean there ever will be, because when the kingdom ends and the earth dissolves in fire, all the oceans, everything that lives on this planet will be gone as God creates a new heavens and a new earth." So we're discovering things, Jimmy, that we didn't really understand before, of the amazing work of God. And you know what he did to those animals? He said they're to reproduce after their kind, Genesis 1:20. Every day, after their kind, after their kind. Nothing has ever evolved from anything, anywhere, ever. Things deteriorate through time. all kinds of physical, chemical problems, second law of thermodynamics. Nothing is being created, evolving, we might say, as I was a godless evolutionist at Princeton University in the early 40s. That's what I was taught. But now we know better. We know that everything reproduces after its kind, after its kind. And I say thank you, Lord, for these beautiful visual aids that you're bringing to our attention today and all over the world.
Well, Dr. John, you mentioned just a bit ago that indeed at the time of creation, the oceans were not as deep as we're talking about, 7 miles deep. And so then it must have been the flood that opened up these crevices into the earth. Is that correct?
That's correct. God changed the surface of the earth. And as we know, after the flood ended, the mountains went up and the ocean basins, as we know, were deeper. So that we have a very different world today. Perhaps only one great continent before the flood, in fact. So tremendous changes took place at the time of the global flood in Genesis 6, 7, 8, and 9. And guess who did all that? Jesus, who created the world, who because of our rebellion cursed the world and destroyed the world and changed the world at the time of the Genesis flood.
You know, as I continue to listen to you explain all of this, you said something else I've got to ask you a question about. Before the flood, possibly just one continent, just one big piece of land that people were living on?
Yes, because all the animals could walk to the ark. They didn't have to cross oceans to get there. So that implies that there was just one great landmass, Pangaea, it's sometimes called. And that was split apart. At the time of the flood, it sank below the waters, of course. Everything did, everywhere. It was after the flood that the great mountains we see today, with their trillions of fossils that were buried during the flood, were lifted up thousands of feet above the oceans. A very different planet today, geographically speaking, than before the flood.
You know what it seems to me with this conversation, John, that you're telling us that actually science is finally catching up with what the Bible said many, many years ago.
God says you can save a lot of time and money if you just open my book and listen to what I tell you about how it began, why it is the way it is, and what it's going to be. And I say, thank you, Lord. Help me to believe everything you've said in the only book you've ever written.
Wow. I say thank you, Lord, for everything you've ever said in the only book you've ever written as well. That's a great phrase, and we ought to go out and repeat that phrase to the world. God's Word telling us everything. John, thank you so very much. Again, you come to these microphones, you help us to understand when scientists try to destroy our belief, the Word of God is absolute in its record of what did happen, and we can always rely upon it, can we not?
Amen. Jesus is the only Savior. May we live for Him, reflect His brilliant light into the darkness that surrounds us as He gives us opportunity from day to day.
Dr. John Whitcomb, he is a brilliant man, but he's a student of God's Word as well, and that, in my opinion, is what gives him the knowledge to help explain to us these things that are happening. John, thank you so very much. We'll talk again down the line, I hope, real soon.
God be with you. Thank you, Jimmy. Bye-bye.